Good morning. Thank you all very much for being here this morning. Title of our lesson is Lessons from the Pharisees. In our world today, lots of folks, despise the Pharisees, use them as examples. Obviously, Jesus did that. But the Pharisees also had a lot of positive things about them. But this morning, we just want to learn a little bit about how they addressed and did things with Jesus and with the people around them. And to be able to glean from God's holy word some things from the Pharisees. And in our passage in chapter 16 this morning, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And as you can see in the bottom of the passage this morning, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees is what Jesus was talking about. And when you talk about doctrine, you talk about a belief, you talk about a religion, you talk about a practice, you talk about rituals, you talk about rules, things that guide us. And the Pharisees and Sadducees obviously were leaders of the Jews at that time. The biggest differences Jesus had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees were is they added to God's word. And they made their traditions more important than God's word, folks. Now, for us to consider that in our lives, we think about that, a lesson from the Pharisees. What do we make more important in our lives than God's word? What do we sometimes in our lives want to change? Well, that's kind of tough. I don't really want to do that. Do I really have to do that? We talked about in Bible class this morning. You know what? My dad was a good guy and he did this and that's okay with me. You know? My grandfather or my grandmother or my mother. I just can't accept that what they did was wrong in the sight of God. But folks, that's the same thing the Christians, early Christians were struggling with, because the Sadducees and Pharisees and the Essenes and the Hellenists, those people that professed and were sects of the Jews at that time, were very admirable. But you know something else that we hate today, a word that we utilize is a word click. You know, oh, there's cliques in that place. There's cliques in that church. You want to talk about the cliques of cliques, talk about the Pharisees and Sadducees, whether you got in or not, whether you were part of them or not. And when Jesus came along and said, hey, I represent the true and the living God, and here's how I really want you to behave, and here's really what God wants you to act like and live like and treat each other like, there were some differences in that doctrine. And there still is today in our lives. That's why Jesus doesn't say the minute we're baptized and forgiven of our sins, he doesn't pull us up and we float up to see him in heaven. I'm done with this place. Woohoo! No, it's still a work. We still have to go through in growing in our faith, increasing in knowledge, increasing in love and forgiveness. All those things that Jesus' doctrine magnified compared to the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in Luke chapter 5 it is written, now it happened on a certain day that as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise up, arise, take your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them and took what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Now there's a tremendous amount of wealth in the story in these passages. But for our lesson this morning, lessons from the Pharisees, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who? The Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come out of every town, Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Folks, I ask us in our lives, how many times is the power of the Lord present to heal us and help us and guide us and direct us in our lives? But yet, we act like the Pharisees. Who told you you could do that? Only God can do that. That's not how I think God should be acting. Folks, their mentality prohibited God from working in their lives. And we can say the providence of God. Back then, it was the miraculous power of God, because Jesus had it at that time when he walked the earth. What hinders us from receiving the power of the Lord working in our lives? Selfishness? Lack of knowledge? We talked about the knowledge of God a few weeks back. Right? Smelling good. We talked about smelling good a couple weeks back. Those things that are in God's holy word that tells us to do. It's so precious that Jesus and the apostles and disciples left so many examples and so many understandings for us to relate in our lives. And you want to know why we didn't leave any more or they didn't leave any less? Because God is perfect and God left us exactly what he wants us to have. But he also left us these examples of Jesus and his interaction with the Pharisees. And one of the lessons we can learn from them is not to shut Jesus off, not to shut God off in our lives. Not to think we know more or better than God. Basically, that's what the Pharisees did here. "Who are you, Jesus? Ah, that's not what we want to do. That's not what we've been doing. That's not what I learned from my mom and dad. That's not what I learned from the previous Pharisees and Sadducees and elders." Folks, we need to continue to look at Jesus and be guided by the Holy Spirit, because he will not let us down. I'm going to tell you something. I love serving God by speaking on Sunday mornings, but there's times I'm going to let you down. Can you amen that, Kelly? There's times I'm going to let you down. Folks, Jesus is never going to do that. Never, ever. Never, ever. My wife never lets me down. I'm just kidding. But folks, we do. We rely. You know what? I rely on, even at work, I rely on it. Brother Ed, how many times you rely on something and you go and see it's done wrong or it ain't done? And either they forgot or they got an excuse. You know? When we rely on Jesus, he doesn't give us excuses. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. He forgives us when we make a mistake. He guides us along with the Holy Spirit to make good decisions. We got to be connected to him. We got to be talking to him. We got to be praying to him. We got to know what his word says so it directs our hearts and minds. That's the other thing about the Pharisees, folks. The Pharisees knew the law. They knew what Jesus said, or God said, through the years. They knew what was written. But guess what? They picked and chose what they wanted to follow. Then they added a little bit. Folks, we need to be careful. Bless you, brother. Bless you, bless you. We need to be careful. Don't spit that out again. Folks, we need to be careful with that. We struggle with the same things the Pharisees did. It's right there in front of us. But yet we want to pick and choose which ones work for us. And we want to add a little bit. We think we ought to be doing this. We ought to be doing that. God has made it very simple for us. We make it more complicated, just like the Pharisees did. And it's like, let's not make following Jesus as complicated as it needs to be. In Luke chapter 7, it is written, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, if this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so he said, teacher, say it. And because of the length and what's going on here, we'll continue in this passage. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, said, I suppose the one he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Lessons from the Pharisees. Folks, in the kingdom of God, everybody is equal. The worldly statue of what clothes you wear and who does your hair and where you work and what type of food you eat doesn't matter in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. And we need to be careful that we're not the Pharisees. You shouldn't be eating that. You shouldn't be wearing this. And you shouldn't be this and that. Folks, I've been to some congregations before where people dressed, and I'll say this, women dressed very, very not modest. That's a good way of putting it. I tried to find a good way. Folks, do you know how much that struggles with people walking around seeing women dressed not modest in a worship service? It's us and our responsibility as God's children to make sure, okay, that we curtail that. That we enable people to understand that that doesn't represent the kingdom of heaven correctly. But I say that to say the Pharisees made decisions and judgments about people and things and divided themselves from other people. Okay? Not because of sin. As they said, she's a sinner. You shouldn't be around her. Well, how could them Pharisees help them out? Folks, the minute the Pharisees said she's a sinner, opportunity to share the kingdom of heaven, to share the blessings of God and his favor were removed. Once the Pharisees stereotyped somebody, okay, of not worthiness,
of not their time. We need to make sure we learn that lesson from the Pharisees. Not to do that. Not to do that. Now obviously there's times in the Bible when we should... Jesus told the disciples to shake the dust off your feet and move on. But folks, we got to go to those places to be able to make that determination. To share the gospel and the kingdom of heaven with them. Or to shake the dust off your feet. I'm going to go back to first. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Folks, let me just ask, when you sit down to eat, what would you say to Jesus? If you were going to sit down and eat with Jesus? Now, those of you, okay, that have fantasy football would be asking Jesus, who's going to win? Who should I play? In my what should my lineup be? You know? Maybe we wouldn't want to say a thing. We just want to observe what Jesus had to say. And I believe a lot of people, when they sit down to eat with Jesus, did that. Obviously, the Pharisees asking questions. But let me ask you this. If Jesus came and sit down to eat at your table, or even more publicly in a restaurant where all kinds of people were, would you fall at his feet? Would you want to wash his feet? In our society, men don't have long hair in this culture over here. In other parts of the world, they still do. Right, Brother Evan? But would you do that? Would you take something very important, expensive to you, and wash his feet? How many of us spray perfume on our feet? Let's ask this. How many people got perfume or cologne in their house? All of us do, right? Well, who is it? No, I'm just joking. We all do. Some flavor or another. How many of us spray it on the feet? Even you folks that... there's a couple guys in here once in a while that wear mandals. But... sandals, mandals. But you ladies wear... I'm just kidding. I'm just asking them. I don't know, maybe some of you do. Maybe Kelly does. I never seen her. My feet stink. I'm putting some cologne on. Now, I've known guys have done that. I'm a little sweaty for the day. I'm too lazy to get freshened. That's my freshening up. We joke about it, folks, but you know what? This woman recognized how precious Jesus was and the power he had over the Pharisees. She humbled herself, took something very precious to Jesus' feet, and said, I need your help. Forgive me. You're so precious in my life. And the Pharisees didn't. They wanted to point out the sins in somebody else's life. Did the Pharisees have sin in their lives? Certainly. Lesson from the Pharisees. Let's make sure that we follow the example of this woman. In Luke chapter 11, it is written, and as he spoke, a certain Pharisee was asked to dine with him. Now see, this is a similar deal again, huh? Come on over, Jesus. Come on over to my house. Eat with me. How many of us, if Jesus was here and going to walk on the face of earth, we'd want him to come on over to my house? Huh? Oh, yeah. Let me ask you this question. In our culture today, we've got to a point where, not in my house. Not today. It's not clean enough. It's not good enough. I don't have enough stuff. Would we use those same examples why we don't invite each other in each other's homes and spend a little more time? We'd rather press the remote than we would to talk to a brother or sister in Christ. It's self-convicting to me, folks, too. I'm preaching it myself on this. Only a step to be able to share each other's lives and each other's faith. We need to make sure our society doesn't tear that apart from us. But they ask, once again, Pharisee asked, you know, all the bad things the Pharisees did, they asked Jesus, come on over. Come on over. Now, they could have said, come on over and see what I got. They could have said, come on over and eat with me. I need to learn from you. I need to soak up all I can of you, Jesus. Soak up some joy and some forgiveness and some happiness and some truth and some confidence. How many of us want those things in our lives? How many of us want to be reminded of the good things that is in this life that God's created, the riches that are in Him? You're either going to be studying God's Word, or you need to be around people that are enjoying that stuff. And we need to make sure as children of God and representatives of the kingdom of heaven that we do those things. How many of us want to go over to somebody's house and all they do is want to complain? Man, my wife ain't doing enough around here. Brother Bob, I love you, brother. You know, I'm so tired of the politics. I'm so tired of this and my boss. And I'm so tired of this. Sit there when the weather is beautiful and the sun is shining. And you sit in a house that people in other parts of the world dream of. And you can't be happy. And you can't have Jesus in your life. And you can't represent the kingdom of heaven. And remember, your sins have been washed away. You've been freed from the world. When we get together and we say, it's great to see you, brother. It's great to see you keep on keeping on, sister. I love to see you guys here this morning. It's an encouragement to me. Doesn't matter who you owe, what you owe, what you wear, what you drive. It's great to see you here this morning, following Jesus. So he went and sat down to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you, a Pharisee, make the outside of the cup a clean dish, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought have to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. And in continuing, one of them lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you lone men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently, and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him, and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him.
Does that sound like lawyers today? They haven't changed in over 2,000 years. Huh? Except for the ones Jesus is working on their hearts, and there are some of those folks. Let's not be like the Pharisees and say all lawyers are bad, all politicians are bad, right? All rich people are bad. Let's not succumb to the way of thinking of the Pharisees. Let's learn from them. But as you can see what I have highlighted here at the end of this passage this morning, folks. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering you in, you hindered. Folks, let's learn from the Pharisees and not do that. Jesus explains how to become a child of God and how to remain a child of God. He left his disciples and his apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, to elaborate on those things, to help people when they had some questions after the fact. Let's not be like the Pharisees and add to or take away. Let's not hinder other people. The key of knowledge taken away. Folks, that's what's transpiring in our world today. We have people profess to be Christians, but yet they don't follow Jesus. They reason it away like the Pharisees did. It's good enough for mom and dad. It's good enough for Uncle Ann. It's good enough. This person was such a good person, I can't believe they weren't following Jesus. Folks, there's millions of good people that aren't following Jesus. Goodness does not forgive sin and allow us into the kingdom of heaven. Obedience to Jesus, the Son of the living God, and in contact with his blood when we're baptized into him, is what enables us to be forgiven and be part of the kingdom of heaven and have eternity, salvation for eternity. Let's make sure we don't fall into these lessons from the Pharisees to where they are hindering other people from their walk with Jesus. And in closing this morning, and a little recap, these are passages taken from the ones we looked at this morning. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. Because of the amount of the lesson, I eliminated this passage. But they kept asking him, show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And Jesus said, the sign you're going to see is the same sign of Jonah. I'll be gone. Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days and will arise. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven and testing him. Folks, let's not follow into that same trap and test God. You know one of the ways that we test God today? If you'll give this to me, I'll do this. If you just let me do this, I'll be better. That's not walking by faith. It's not walking by love. It's manipulating the God Almighty that died for our sins. Just like the Pharisees were doing. Disputing with him. Seeking a sign. Testing him. Instead of obeying him. Following him. And submitting to him. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the kingdom of the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Folks, the providence of God, he's still the God of this world. He still created all the greatness that we see and we can't see. Kelly and I last weekend went up and went across the Straits of Mackinac and rode the ferry back and forth. And I'm just amazed at the water. There's other beautiful scenery too, but it's just thousands and millions and millions and millions of gallons of water. Fresh water too. No salt, no sharks, just fun. I'm just That's their new saying up there. I'm just jesting a little bit. But that doesn't even touch what the oceans are about and how great God has created this earth. And He's still in control. And He's still there to help us. And His power to save us from sins is still alive and well. And His truth is forever, forever the best guide anybody could ever have in their lives. Just like Jesus was there with the Pharisees and they just turned from Him and said, "Now I want to do it my own way." And that's not the way Grandpa and Grandma did it. Folks, we got to make sure that we love Jesus more than we do Grandpa and Grandma. And that's tough to do. That's tough to do. It's tough to love Jesus more than Mom and Dad. And it's tough to love Jesus more than our kids. But we, as Him being our Lord and Savior, we got to do that. To be conformed to His image, we got to do that. Because that's exactly what He did. He loved us. The power to change our lives is in Jesus. Let's not mistake it for something else, or let's not take it for granted. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, having not been baptized by Him. You know, when I read this passage, part of the passage, that's part of our first part of the passage from Matthew 16. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by Him. Now, they're talking about John, baptism of John, but still, John was baptizing everybody under the sun that wanted to listen to Him and obey Him, because he was a prophet of the Most High God. Obviously, Jesus brought a better baptism and a better salvation and opened the kingdom of heaven. But folks, I'm going to tell you right now, don't wait for anything else to come along. Jesus already came along and said, "Follow me, and here's the rules, and here's what I need you to do to be a child of the kingdom of heaven." There are those today that reject the baptism of Jesus and a way of following Him and make their own rules and regulations. Folks, don't fall into that trap. Learn from the Pharisees. They made big mistakes when they rejected the baptism of John. Jesus says you have judged rightly to a sinful woman crying at His feet. We need to be like that woman and recognize how much Jesus means in our lives. He also said, "Your sins are forgiven." We read multiple times in these passages where we've recognized Jesus said, "I can heal you, but I can also forgive sins, and forgiven sins is as powerful and more powerful than healing." And lastly, He says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This morning, Jesus says the same thing. His word is still truth. Your faith, you've obeyed the gospel in faith. Go in peace. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His words and His knowledge that will guide and direct you this week. If you have not obeyed the gospel and followed Jesus by having your sins washed away in baptism, we offer that opportunity this morning, or you need the prayers of the congregation. For any reason whatsoever, that invitation also stands as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.